I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What did you think? The NFL draft in Detroit. Detroit dazzled, in my opinion. I thought it was terrific. Really looked like they brought all the energy and enthusiasm, turned it into an electric atmosphere there, not just inside the area where the draft was being held, but outside on the streets and the 275,000 fans. Are you kidding? Man, the bar has been raised for next year, which I believe is Green Bay, if I remember correctly. So, yes, do an NFC North tour these couple of years. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Speaking of the NFC North, the Bears were on the clock first. The Vikings made a splash, as did the Falcons. Later this hour, you'll hear from Michael Penix. Kirk Cousins left the NFC North and somehow still ends up being in the center of all of this. So there's plenty to talk about. Six QBs go in the top 12 and no defensive player for quite a while. It took a couple hours before we saw a defensive player come off the board. So what did you think of the draft that was spearheaded by local Detroit royalty, if you will? You can find us on Twitter at Amy After Hours or on the Facebook page. And our phone number is 855-212-4227. Detroit had a Roger Goodell who was loose and who was using his comedic chops along with Eminem.
Hello, Detroit.
No, that's not right.
Welcome to the D.
Nope. Come on, Roger.
You okay, Commish? Nervous?
Nah, Barry. I'm just fired up.
What's it on your sweater?
Mom's spaghetti.
Why are you so wound up? You need a hug?
Oh, we doing hugs? I'm ready, Commish.
These guys are going to remember this night for the rest of their lives.
Yeah, not to mention their families, friends. No pressure, bro.
Now, who is going to come out on stage with me?
It should be Barry. He's the Detroit GOAT.
No. How about Megatron? He's taller.
How about Hutch?
Hutch? You're going to have to do better than that.
All right. We only have one shot to nail this. One shot.
You know you're still gonna get booed, right?
I'm not afraid.
I'm afraid for you.
That was perfect. Even though some of it was on tape, that particular portion, when they got out on stage, the hype was real. Everything from Aiden Hutchinson to Barry Sanders to Megatron to Eminem, along with Jared Goff and his BFF, Amon-Ra St. Brown, who made sure the crowd did, in fact, start chanting his name. So it was really, I thought it was perfect. It was a really fitting way for Detroit to open the NFL draft. And with that, we head to the Motor City now and welcome Russell Brown, who's an NFL draft analyst for Fantasy Pros and Betting Pros and also has the Detroit Lions podcast. And Russell, first time the draft lands in Detroit, What did it feel like to you when you were down there on Thursday?
For me, it's the draft's what I live for. You know, it's all I've ever thought about, and it was great being down there today and just to experience it. I mean, it's truly something that's just remarkable as just a draft guy myself, but for the fan base and the city of Detroit and just Lions fans that were down there. I mean, according to Roger Goodell, 275,000 people on attendance, breaking and just shattering any record that was previously held by other cities like Nashville and Vegas. And, you know, it was amazing at how many people there were. And we were at the corner of Woodward and Congress in Metro Detroit, just, you know, broadcasting live with our radio station and just looking at the mountains of people and the different colors of the jerseys. You know, you'd see a Broncos jersey and a sea of Honolulu blue and then some Jets fans. And it was just awesome. And just getting to interact with all these different fan bases and getting their opinions on these players. It was so much fun.
Are you in any way surprised that Detroit set a record for attendance?
No, I mean, this is what we do. This is a football city, and people love the Lions, and they live for this football scene here in this city, and it was awesome.
How significant is it to get an event like this from the NFL in Detroit?
It's just so important for the fact that, you know, Detroit gets such a bad rap, you know, nationally from people like, oh, I would never go there, you know, it's dangerous, this and that. And in all major cities, they have, you know, dangerous parts in it. But it was just a great event where, you know, you got great food, great bars and restaurants, and just great people. And the atmosphere was awesome. A little cold, no doubt about it. But it looks like the weather's going to start warming up over the next couple of days, and it should be a great 3-day weekend for anybody that's there. And hopefully that means, you know, as future events come along, people will look at it and be like, hey, I'm going to go check out the city of Detroit because there's just so much to do down there, whether it be the casinos, the restaurants, like I mentioned. Just they set it up beautifully.
Detroit definitely dazzled. But let me ask you this, Russell. How much does it matter that it came after not just a winning season, but the first playoff win for Detroit in Lions fans know how long?
Yeah, 32 years, and who's counting, you know? But it was great. I was there for that game, and just being there, sharing that with my son, that was awesome. And those fans, it was amazing. It's like you're living on a cloud, you know? It's something that's just remarkable, and obviously they were one half away from the Super Bowl. And what a run this organization's been on. They had a great pick tonight with Tyrion Arnold, and they got aggressive, and that place erupted when they were on the clock.
Yeah, it was really neat scene. Russell Brown is with us from Detroit in the wake of round one. Still a weekend to go in this 2024 NFL draft, and he's an analyst for Fantasy Pros and Betting Pros and with us here after hours with Amy Lawrence on the Infinity Sports Network. So, Russ, there were lots of predictions and mock drafts about how this would play out, but I don't know how many people thought six quarterbacks taken in the first 12 picks. What's your reaction to those first 12?
A record-setting night, and just looking at those six quarterbacks, I really can't believe all six went in the first round. And we started joking, is there going to be a seventh quarterback? Are we going to see Spencer Rattler? Obviously, we didn't see that, but it just goes to show that the teams in this league, they had a quarterback need, and they value these players at that position more than any other position. And it's an offensive-heavy league, and we knew this was an offensive-heavy draft, but just a bunch of sparks and a bunch of fireworks in those first 14, 15 picks and really just in this first round. But the landscape of the NFL is changing with six new faces at the quarterback position going to different teams. So it's going to be so intriguing. I think the one I'm most excited about is probably Jaden Daniels to Washington, just simply because of that division and how explosive he is and the weapon that he is as a runner, but then just the deep touch and anticipation that he has as a quarterback. It's by far, I think, some of the best we've seen in this class. So a winnable NFC East that we see every year, so much uncertainty with the Cowboys and Giants. I think Washington's a very intriguing team.
How surprised were you at the Falcons choosing Michael Penix at number 8 once they had already paid Kirk Cousins?
Yeah, that one was just shocking. And when they went to the war room there, it was like it didn't seem like many people there were on board, and it really felt like their general manager had to explain himself to why he took Michael Penix and even Kirk Cousins. There's that text or that picture of the text message of Kirk being somewhat surprised at what was going on and that he didn't really get a heads up that they were going to be drafting a quarterback and adding competition to that room. So I think it's very surprising. I thought this was a team that might capitalize on getting a pass catcher or going, you know, Rome Odunze staring them in the face. The thought of maybe adding a defensive player would have been there, but they add Michael Penix, and I guess they've kind of got a plan in case Kirk Cousins doesn't work out. He doesn't bounce back from a torn Achilles, but just really shocking stuff with the Falcons in round one tonight.
Were you expecting more trade movement, Russell?
Yes and no. I mean, obviously it picked up in the back end more so because the Bills kept trading back, but it was one of those where we always expect all of these trades. I feel like this was the case last year, and then we didn't see very many trades last year. I believe it was only three draft day trades, and then the same in 2022. Really, the only team that was moving in the top 20 was the Minnesota Vikings. So I wasn't overly surprised because I think teams, once they get settled into the war room and they start figuring out where players are going and they can reassess their board, I think they start realizing, okay, we're comfortable with taking player X or player Y here in this spot.
Russell Brown is with us from Detroit. When you think about what the Bears did, how do you like the combo of Caleb and Rome 1-9?
It's a phenomenal combo. I mean, I'm, you know, a Lions fan at heart. I always try to put my fandom to the side, and I just look at it from a football perspective, and there's just so much to be excited about. If you're a Bears fan, you get the best quarterback in the draft, depending on who you talk to. I think Caleb was the best quarterback in this draft. He's so dynamic, and he's a guy that, you know, many people would label as generational. I wouldn't necessarily go there because he's still got to win football games and those types of things, but they get him a pass catcher that's different from anybody they have on the roster. There's much to be liked with DJ Moore and Keenan Allen, but Rome Odunze at 6'3", 212, he moves so well. He can be that prototypical X receiver in that offense. They can move him around too, but just what he does, he's a workhorse, and he could very well be one of the two or three best players to come from this draft. So I think it was a great first round for the Bears. And really, when you look at the NFC North, the dynamic has changed. JJ yes. McCarthy, Caleb Williams, Rome Odunze, Dallas Turner. So much has changed. It's going to be a very competitive division, and I can't wait to see how it unfolds this fall.
Just out of curiosity, if it's not Caleb Williams and they still have Justin Fields, but they put all these pieces around him, might the narrative be different with the Bears and their offense?
It could be. I think a lot of that would just be determined on how many more games is Justin Fields going to win for them over Caleb Williams. And, I mean, we all knew what Justin Fields was. I mean, he only won 10 games in Chicago. It was time for a change of scenery, obviously. And I think it was one of those where I think Bears fans are very happy with the upside that Caleb Williams possessed for their organization. And they kind of knew the writing was on the wall with Justin Fields after, you know, the last couple of years have kind of played out the way that they did for him.
Outside of quarterbacks, okay, because that was a big surprise with so many taken in the top 12. What else surprised you about this first round?
And just the offensive players that went 14 in a row, something I didn't think we would see. Seeing the Las Vegas Raiders take Brock Bowers over an offensive tackle. Talese Fuaga was staring them in the face at right tackle, and they kind of doubled down at the tight end position as they took one last year with Michael Mayer, and they take Brock Bowers. I'm assuming we're going to see some heavy personnel there with multiple tight ends. Those were a little bit surprising to me. But, yeah, those offensive players, 14 in a row, that was certainly something. And then I will say, you know, seeing the Lions trade up from 28 to 24 to get Terry Arnold and to see him there available at 24, not exactly sure what happened with those corners and why we only saw three of them go in the first round, but it was one of those where they just went later than expected. I thought we might see them in the teens, and then we might see a little bit of a run in the back end of the first round at the position. But to see only three go and Quinyon just fall into the lap of the Philadelphia Eagles at 22, that's a great fit too. So I would say that.
Who's a player that maybe you thought would go in the first round that is still out there and still available?
I thought Cooper DeJean was going to go in the first round just simply because of how well he tested at his pro day. And then you just look at what he can do for a defense and for a special teams unit. He's got great return ability. He was really the only reason why Iowa football scored any points a season ago. And I know he's coming back from an injury, but I thought with the medicals clearing and then the pro day and how he is just so athletic. I mean, this guy was Gatorade Player of the Year in the state of Iowa, a guy that as a basketball player probably could have went and played college hoops. He averaged 25-7-7. I know the Lakers are down 3-0 right now. They might want to give him a call to maybe revitalize their playoff hopes. But Cooper DeJean, I thought, was somebody that we'd see in the first round, and he's available on day two. So very intrigued with him. And then I will say Johnny Newton. I thought he was one of the better defensive players in this draft. I know there was some concerns with his foot, but I thought maybe a team would draft him in the back end of the first round, like the Buffalo Bills, maybe even like the Baltimore Ravens, and he ended up just kind of falling into day two. So we'll see where he lands tomorrow night.
Still, the Chiefs are the team to beat as the Super Bowl champions, two-time defending champs, and would love to go three-peat. I'm not saying that there is a replacement for Tyreek Hill, but they do draft speed. And Xavier Worthy out of Texas. How do you like that addition to Patrick Mahomes' arsenal?
I can't believe the Buffalo Bills traded out of that spot to give Xavier Worthy to the Kansas City Chiefs. First, they gave him Patrick Mahomes years ago, and now they give him Xavier Worthy. And I joked about this earlier. Hollywood Brown, Marquise Brown, and Xavier Worthy haven't even caught a pass from Patrick Mahomes, and they're already better than Sky Moore and Kadarius Toney. So I love what Worthy possesses, a 4-2-1 guy. I mean, he plays bigger than he's listed at 5'11", 165, a really good route runner. He's going to be dangerous in the red zone, and then obviously vertically down the field with Pat Mahomes. So much is going to happen with this offense, and it's hard to imagine them not repeating getting back to the Super Bowl.
Russell, before I let you go, what did it mean to you to be able to cover the draft, this event that you love, something that you pour a lot of time and effort into in Detroit, where you're from?
It was a dream come true. I mean, it was a surreal moment for me. It's something that I have been working and practicing for probably the last 20 years, writing out mock drafts and making up fake player names and teams and all of this stuff. Like, I was Mel Kiper on TV in my living room as a kid, and I got to do it live on the radio tonight joining you. It's just great. It's a dream come true. And I mean, doing radio every couple of days and spots all over the country, it's awesome. But to cover it for 5-6 hours tonight and breaking it down, it was awesome.
I'm so glad to hear that. Congratulations on this dream come true. A lot of dreams coming true on this first night of the NFL Draft, and more to come. You can find Russell Brown on Twitter at @RussNFLDraft, an analyst with Fantasy Pros and Betting Pros, the Lions Wire, Lions Podcast, a lot more to come this weekend. I'm glad it was a night that exceeded your expectations, Russ. Thank you so much for a couple of minutes.
Absolutely. I appreciate it.
That's neat, right? Not only are you living out your dream in analyzing and breaking down and talking about an NFL draft, but it happens in your city. Russ had been up and talking for a really long time. So I appreciate that he had a few minutes left for us. I know you want to hear from Michael Penix. I bet you want to hear from J.J. McCarthy. And what about these rumors? Rumors? I guess they've been confirmed that the Niners are at least listening to offers for both Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk, and then they go and draft a wide receiver. So we will give you more of the skinny on this first round of the NFL draft. I'd love to hear your reaction on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. There's a post up there as well. Back of the hour following the update, we'll get to Knicks and Sixers as well as Lakers and Nuggets and working a little basketball. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on this happy almost Friday, or for some of you, maybe into a Friday. Oh, I'm reserving my, I don't have much enthusiasm left, so I need to use it while we're on the air and not during commercial breaks. But we're glad to usher in the weekend with you here on the Infinity Sports Network.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With the 8th pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Atlanta Falcons select Michael Penix Jr., quarterback, Washington.
The moment was special. You know, obviously it's something I've been dreaming of since I was a kid. You know, so to be able to be in this position, you know, I'm blessed. You know, and that's all I can say. I'm blessed. You know, I had no idea, you know, but I know that, you know, everything happened for a reason. I'm super excited to be able to be a part of the organization. I can't wait to go make an impact.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Michael Penix Jr. wasn't even in Detroit. But man, what a roar from his crew, from his family and his friends when he was in fact picked. And that was in St. Petersburg, Florida. Big group there and his face. So when exactly did he know that he would be drafted by the Falcons at number 8 overall?
I'll say when the phone rang. You know, obviously, like I said, with our workout, I felt very confident and comfortable with our workout. I feel like we had a great workout. We had a great connection, you know, whenever I met those guys. And so it was always a special connection ever since I met him. But, you know, once the phone rang, that's when I knew.
And what about joining a roster and a QB room with Kirk Cousins as the, we'll call him, I can't call him a lame duck. We'll say the incumbent, though he's pretty new to the scene in Atlanta as well.
Guy who's been in the league, you know, he's been in there for a while. You know, he's played a lot of football. And so I feel like for me, I'm going to come in and I'm going to learn. I'm going to learn from him. You know, try to soak in all the knowledge that I can from him because, you know, obviously he's been in the league for a while.
So Michael Penix saying all the right things. You got to believe that Washington, coming off the year that it just had with Chris Beard, and playing not just in the national semifinals of the college football playoff, but on into the championship game, that was a big reason why both Penix and Odunze were drafted in the top 10, actually in the top 9. They go back-to-back because the Bears end up taking the wide receiver. What a showcase. If you ever wonder about the power of the college football playoff and that stage and how it can boost your draft stock. Now, they still had to go through all the workouts, the medicals, the interviews, all of that, but you attract a lot of attention when you play well in that game and on that stage. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. According to the Atlanta Brain Trust, coach and GM, this is not a quarterback competition, but Kirk Cousins' agent wasted no time. And you heard actually Russell Brown say there's that text out there that seems to indicate that Kirk was stunned and that he had no idea what the Falcons were planning to do until they were actually on the clock. That's when he found out they were drafting another quarterback. Like I said, loosely, maybe it feels a little bit like Aaron Rodgers when they drafted Jordan Love, but not exactly, because Kirk, while he is now the starter there in Atlanta, he just got there. He only beat Michael Penix to town by a couple of months. So it's not like he has any claim to stake. And he does have the guaranteed money, and he's got the guarantee that he is the starter. Thing is, he's coming off a torn Achilles. And there's no guarantee, speaking of guarantees, that he will be the same guy he was when he was chucking and ducking there in Minnesota with Justin Jefferson. And I do know the Falcons believe they can win now. They believe that the quarterback was the missing piece. Raheem Morris even says, we're not going to be in this position again. We really liked him. So it's interesting because he catapulted even ahead of, say, J.J. McCarthy and Bo Nix. And, yeah, the Vikings moving up to 10th to get J.J. That really dispelled some of the narrative around him that he was a winner, sure, but only because of the system he was in, not because of his play specifically. 855-212-4227. Dan is in Athens, Georgia, home of University of Georgia. What do you think about the Michael Penix selection?
What's up, Amy? How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you.
Honestly, man, I think it probably caught a lot of people, you know, for a loop, no doubt, because I think a lot of people wanted to go edge rusher right there. And, you know, that's what the talk was around this region, at least, for months. And, I mean, I think it comes down to the fact that, like, you know, multiple things that play into it, obviously. But, you know, with Cousins coming off the injury, obviously, that is definitely a concern and maybe more of a concern than we all realize it is. But, two, you know, if we do have the team that, you know, we all believe we have, and quarterback was a problem last year, and have we had confident quarterback playing last year, maybe we would have been a 12-win team instead of a 7-win team, you know, and maybe we would have won the division. Maybe we are a Super Bowl contender at this point. And, you know, the biggest issue at this point is if that quarterback play had been there, you know, do we need the pass rusher? We went from, what, 21 or something like that sacks and last in the league to 44, which was a huge, you know, obviously a huge jump, still only 21st in the league on sacks. But, you know, we were playing from behind half the season. And, you know, if you bring it back to the 16 season when we were scoring, you know, 30 points a game, we were getting after the quarterback probably way more than, you know, what Vic Beasley's career ended up being at that point, you know. So I just think that maybe trying to basically double down on the fact that this team might be already ready to win something big and making some moves that we've already made offensively as far as Mooney and Rondale Moore and all that stuff to add pieces for Kirk Cousins. You know, I think they're just doubling down on the fact that we think we're ready to win something.
So. Gotcha. So you think that this is them solidifying the quarterback position just in case for now, but also for the future, because that's what held them back. And you said last year, if we had a decent quarterback, I'd say the last few years, even the last couple years of Matt Ryan's tenure there, though he wasn't terrible, but it didn't seem to be quite the connect that they needed with the weapons that were on the field.
Sure. I mean, and then you had Julio that was, you know, on his way out, and, you know, some of the pieces left us, but the way that we've built the offense and the, you know, playmakers we put around the offense at this point, you know, you have Algiers, who's your Thunder, and then you've got now Bijan being the Lightning. I mean, you got a lot of playmakers with Pitts, London, and adding, you know, some speed with Mooney. And then I think that Rondale Moore is actually a big gadget guy that's kind of, you know, overlooked. But at the end of the day, you know, I think that that defense 2 years ago isn't what that defense is now. And granted, maybe that defense isn't that great still, but at the end of the day, you want to have a team that can score. And the biggest issue, more than the pass rush from last year, was we didn't have a quarterback that could score points for us. If you get a team that's playing from behind, then we're going to have the advantage at least getting to rush the passer a little bit more, which will probably add to more sacks. But if you're playing from behind and teams are running the ball on you, you're not going to get any sacks.
Yeah, so. Well, this is why Arthur Smith didn't last there. He never had a quarterback, and great that he was a big part of it. But the last 2 years, for sure, they were just kind of firing blanks and stuck in QB purgatory. Other teams certainly know what that feels like. But, yeah, if this is what it took to get Michael Penix and he is the franchise guy moving forward, then I suppose it's not a terrible price to pay, and they do have some really good weapons around him.
For sure.
I like the Raheem Morris addition, of course, too, the hire because of his
defensive prowess and what he's done in multiple different places at, you know, other stops with the defenses.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, we added two defensive-minded coaches, both that have experience playing on the defensive backfield, which is huge for
us. I do like the use of the word we, Dan. That's great.
We, yes. I'll never let that one go. I think that Zach Robinson's probably, 2 years from now, probably head coach at this point.
All right.
But we'll see what happens, you know, in the next couple of years, obviously. But at the end of the day, again, I think that, you know, the defense is where I think it needs to be. And I think that you've seen over the last few years that if you have a top-tier offense and a top half of the NFL defense, that you could probably get it done, because it's not the way that it used to be with defense first.
Well, Dan, thank you. There are certainly examples of that, but the Cleveland Browns would be an example of something that's the complete opposite, right? They used five different quarterbacks last year, but their defense helped to drive them into the playoffs. So there's examples of both. The Ravens had one of the best defenses in the NFL last year as well, in addition to having the MVP. So I'm glad you're excited, though. Thank you so much for your phone call.
Well, I will say one thing about Penix. One thing about Penix is I think that people are worried about his injury prone and all that stuff. But I think that, think about from where he started and how much football he has played throughout his career. When was the last time he's had 2 years off? So this is a chance for him to get healthy and then potentially be someone that we can look forward to in the future. So.
All right, Dan. Glad you're excited. Thanks so much for your phone call. One Atlanta Falcons fan that has a lot to say about what they did. Vikings not only moved up to 10th to get J.J. McCarthy, but they also moved up to get an edge rusher, too, in another swap with Jacksonville. So they were kind of the most active team early on. Their general manager, Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, on why they made that leap and got to 10.
I always talk about minimizing regret. And, you know, if you're sitting on your couch one day and you're like, that extra fifth or whatever it was, and it could have had a chance at a guy that you think has traits and could be special, you're never going to care about that fifth round pick, and there's ways of getting it back.
Six quarterbacks taken in the top 12. And I wonder what the Raiders would have done had there been another one sitting there. They chose not to reach. No defensive players until 15, and that was Indy with the edge rusher, Leatu Latu. Right out of UCLA, and the fact that he was still available there for the Colts, you can imagine. So I don't know if you guys were watching the NFL draft version, or I'm sorry, the NFL Network version, but that's what I was watching with Rich Eisen, and he talked about a conversation that he had with Chris Ballard of the Colts, who said they had an interview on his show last week, and he said, "Hey, if you can somehow get six quarterbacks selected in the top 15 before they get to me, I'd be thrilled, because that means there are going to be players that filter down to us and we'll have options that we wouldn't have had otherwise." But it's really funny that that's how it worked out, because this almost feels like jumping the shark, if you will. Just the fact that there were so many quarterbacks taken early, even to the surprise of the guys who do this for a living.
Yeah, look, and it shows you that quarterbacks drive the league. And everybody, whether you want to admit it to yourself or not, you either have a quarterback or you don't. And a lot of teams were quick to pull the trigger and see if they can roll the dice. The question is the only thing that, as much as a quarterback can help you and you need it, it can also cripple you. And that's where franchises take the risk. And that's where a lot of GMs are putting their jobs on the line to figure out if they have their guy or not. Six in the first 12 is, I mean, wild.
It's astounding.
It's wild. Six in the only other time that this happened, that he had six in the first round, was in 83. And that took until, when did Marino go? 28, 29, whatever it was. This is in 12 picks. That's wild.
It is.
It's wild.
It is. And the number of offensive players. But I was using the example earlier of Trevor Lawrence being the only one from the 21 draft that's still with his original team. All the others mm-hmm. have moved on, and that's the danger. Mm-hmm. If you throw these guys out there too early and you don't give them proper development, or the coaching isn't there, or the offensive line allows them to get slaughtered on a fairly regular basis. I mean, Justin Fields was considered a can't miss with the Bears when they got him at number, was it number two?
No, Zach Wilson was two. Oh, Fields went down, I think it was 12 with the Bears. I think it was 12.
Okay.
They traded with the Giants.
He fell to them, and they were thrilled because they felt like they had their future guy, and they weren't really expecting to get him when he fell to them. You're right. That was Zach was at number two now with the Broncos, but that didn't work out. Jay says 11. That didn't work out because they didn't have the right pieces around him, and the coaching changed, and the voices and the systems and everything else. And so I just asked our guest, what if they had everything around him that they have around Caleb Williams right now, and they've got the stability? Might it have been different with Justin Fields? And that's kind of the idea, is it's not just on the quarterback. It's about who you have around him. So if the Broncos, let's just say, for the sake of argument, they wanted to throw Bo Nix out there, it's not like they have some great quarterback room. I mean, that could be detrimental to his development. Same thing with Penix. I don't know that he's ready to go into an NFL system right now.
There's a lot of these guys you don't know, and you need to have the right coaching staff. You need to have the right players. You need to have the offensive line. They need to be ready. There's all of it. The fit in the system, is it right for them? Because some players can thrive off certain systems and not in others. Doesn't mean that it's talent. It just could be the fit. And there could also be where you take a guy and you're wrong. You're just flat wrong,
right,
because this is not an exact science. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of different ways that you can mess it up or it just doesn't go your way. There's a lot of ways that it can work out if you put the right pieces around and you allow a player to either take time to develop off the field, Aaron Rodgers.
But that doesn't happen anymore.
Well, it's going to have to happen in Atlanta, that's for sure. We know that.
But they have the luxury of having a quarterback that they're excited about that they paid.
That's why this is rare. The Atlanta, that's why it's shocking that they did this, because now you get in the NFL, everybody feels like the blueprint is rookie quarterback, rookie scale, build the team around it before you have to pay him, and then you wind up $50 million, and then you can't do it. So you've got to be able to get him on the field day one, because then you waste a year of the 5 years that you have before you pay them.
Right, but that's not the case with Atlanta. I think that's actually an aberration. But yeah, with the Patriots, how long would they be happy with Jacoby before they're ready to throw Drake May out there?
Jaden Daniels, does he see the field week one? We'll find out. Caleb Williams, I'm pretty sure he's going to see the field week one. It's wild how quickly we do this with a lot of the guys.
And then the Vikings too. They don't have another quarterback. And so, well, a quarterback that's supposed to be a viable option. So what do they do with JJ and how quickly? So yeah, there is the catch 22. If you're a QB drafted that early, you're generally going to a team that has got a lot of other holes, though not in the case of the Bears. That's the kind of neat thing, is this wasn't even supposed to be their pick. And they've also been working on putting pieces around him. So I feel like they're set. Set to make a jump. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. Coming up, we're going to shift to basketball because it was quite a night for Joel Embiid.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Here's Embiid to the left side, Oubre. Oubre for three. That's up and good. Kelly Oubre outside left. That's his second three. And the Sixers now with a dozen made threes. Five on the clock. Maxey against Hart. Over to Embiid for three. It's up and good. Are you kidding me? Another three. Tom Thibodeau was looking on like, what is going on? The Sixers are pouring in threes. Brunson guards Lowry. Kyle off in the Embiid screen. Eight to shoot behind his back to the right elbow. Back to Embiid. Embiid with a jumper over Brunson and in. An incredible 5 3-pointers for Embiid. And the Sixers lead 111-96. Here's Embiid with another free throw, and even 50 points for Embiid.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
A career playoff high for Joel Embiid, 50 points to go along with 8 rebounds. And he's certainly a major catalyst for the Sixers getting this first game in Philadelphia, which, by the way, I heard through the grapevine. I don't know if it's true. It could have been just a vicious rumor that it was not sold out. We'll have to get to the bottom of that. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, Tom McGinnis on Sixers Radio. This was a game in which, yeah, we saw the best of Joel Embiid, and that included 5 of 7 from beyond the arc. And so the guy who maybe would have been a repeat MVP had he not been injured all season also was forcing the issue. So he went to the free throw line a ton. He was 19 of 21 from the charity stripe. That's nearly half of his points. And meanwhile, you had the Sixers as a whole who shot almost 55% from the floor. So the Knicks defense was not in full bloom in this game 3. And the third quarter, really the turning point, 43 points for the Sixers in that third quarter. And as for Joel Embiid, got a flagrant one earlier in the game. We'll talk about that because the Knicks are incensed and Mitchell Robinson was out for the rest of the game. But the big deal is that he had the 50 points and that the Sixers, I mean, capitalizing on an opportunity here. Joel Embiid told us they were going to win the series and he had to go out there and make sure at least in their first chance to win again, first chance to get a game from the Knicks, that he gave it everything he had.
Tonight he was aggressive, right? And I know that's like the word. Oh, he was so aggressive, but he was driving it. He was rolling downhill. He was catching and shooting quick. There was hardly, I can think of maybe one where he held it for a long time and finally shot it. He made it. But most of it was decisive. Maybe that's a better word. I thought he was decisive on his decisions on when to roll and when to shoot tonight.
After the game, Joel actually revealed that he's been dealing with yet another medical condition. So not an injury, but he's been diagnosed with Bell's palsy.
I don't know exactly what happened, but obviously I guess that's a normal thing. I think he started the day or two before the Miami game, and I had, you know, bad migraines and thought it was nothing. But usually I don't like to check it out, but for some reason I ended up, you know, having to tell, you know, somebody. And yeah, that's why that Miami game, it was just, my body was just, I was just not feeling it. And then obviously lately with, I don't know if, I'm sure if you Google the symptoms, you know what it is. Yeah, it's pretty annoying, you know, with, you know, my left side of my face, my mouth and, yeah, and my eye. So yeah, it's been tough, but you know, I'm not a quitter, so gotta keep fighting through anything. But yeah, it's unfortunate. That's the way I look at it. But that's not an excuse. Gotta keep, you know, pushing.
He says it started a couple days before the play-in game against the Heat, and he had bad migraines and normally would just ignore that. Sometimes our body is sending us messages that we have to pay attention to. And then the left side of his face, his mouth, his eye, dealing with dry eyes, so constantly using drops to keep his eye from getting too dry, and doesn't have any idea how long this could last. I'm sure there are plenty of people out there who are dealing or have dealt with the same thing. It's not necessarily permanent. It could be weeks or months, according to Joel. And he hasn't lost a sense of humor, nor is he going to stop playing basketball, though it has affected his vision. He said he's actually had blurry vision at times, but there was another moment where he said, "I just hope that it could stay like this. I got a beautiful face and I don't like it when my mouth is looking the other way." So something that he's dealing with, and I don't know why he revealed it at that moment. I'm not exactly sure why I didn't hear the question leading up to it, only that he talked about it for quite a while, shared about how frustrating it's been and, you know, wondering how long he can keep going with different injuries, as well as with now the Bell's palsy and just the pounding on his body. And yeah, some of the other frustrations, both mentally and physically. Remember, he told us earlier when he returned that this was a really tough situation for him. He dealt with depression while he was away, or dealt with being depressed while he was away from the team and injured, but has a 50 spot tonight against the Knicks, and the Sixers finally get a game in that series. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.